Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my broadcast. Today is Monday, October 24th, 2022. This past weekend, Saturday, October 22nd, there was a massive rally in support of Iran and their battered people that are protesting and engaged in one of the biggest revolutions since 1979. 100,000 Iranian Americans and many others joined in Berlin to support the Iranian people as they struggle and fight every day under the death grip of this dictatorship to be free from this government. One of the people that was there at the rally of 100,000 plus was my dear friend Shahzad Jabari. And she was out with her sign, and she was part of that great movement that is supporting Iranian women who are fighting every day now for their freedom. Shahrzad Jabari is the sister of Rahane Jabari. Rahane Jabari, I call her beautiful fragrance because her name Rahane means flower fragrance, was unjustly executed just 8 years ago on the early morning dawn hours of October 25th, 2014. And I am sure my dear friend Rahane and her mother, Sholeh, can never forget that tragic day when Rahane was unjustly executed for defending herself against a government rapist. This is coming upon the 8th year anniversary of her execution. Every year at this time, on the 24th, some days when I'm not working, it's the 25th, that I take aside a half an hour on my Blog Talk Radio and dedicated to Rahane. I was given the incredible privilege just about 6 years ago to write her story in my book entitled Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. Today, as we think about the revolution in Iran, if Rahane was still alive, she would be thrilled to see the women of Iran out on the streets struggling, fighting, demonstrating for their freedom. And because of that, it's only appropriate today that I take the time on my radio broadcast and focus in on the last few hours of Rahane's life. And it's in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. And I want to read to you this incredible story that the Lord gave me the privilege of writing just a few years ago. October 24th, 2014, 2 hours since Rahane's family had left to see her for the last time. She could still see her mother's tear-soaked eyes staring up at her. She could still feel her mother's arms around her. Now, she was all alone in the cold steel coffin of solitary confinement. Rahane fell to her knees and quietly sobbed. She had held her emotions in for too long now, and they finally were gushing out of her. Suddenly, she was interrupted by a tap on the tiny window of the steel door. She quickly composed herself and ran towards the door. It was Sahar. She had a worried look on her face. Sahar stretched her hand through the slit in the door where the food was delivered. She desperately wanted to touch Rahane's hand to comfort her, but Rahane pushed it away and turned her back. "Go! I will lose my strength if I see you." "I want to bring you dinner," Sahar replied with a tone of compassion in her voice. "I don't have an appetite," Rahane snapped back. "But you haven't eaten anything since morning." "I don't want to eat anything. Go." Sahar reluctantly turned her back and walked away from the steel door in tears. Promptly at 12 midnight, two guards awakened Rahane from a deep sleep. She was quickly escorted from her solitary confinement cell into a waiting van that would take her to Rajay Shahar prison for the execution. It was about a 90-minute drive, and Rahane was scheduled to be hanged just before dawn. During the 90-minute trip, she sat quietly gazing out the window into the dark and cold October night. For a few fleeting moments, Rahane thought about her birthday. In just 12 days, she would turn 27. Immediately, as she thought about her age, she bowed her head in despair. There would be no celebration, no birthday celebration this year. The van entered through a steel gate at approximately 1:45 a.m. and came to a halt outside of a large building. Rahane was quickly escorted through the main entrance and processed. The two male guards on each side of her promptly took her into a large conference room setting known as the interrogation room. For the next 2 hours, she would be subjected to an intense interrogation for the last time. Rahane sat down on a chair facing the table. Two large Muslim men dressed in gray uniforms marched into the room and sat down across from Rahane. The intense lights blinded Rahane's eyes. She lifted her hand up in front of her face and rubbed her forehead to relieve the intense pressure from a headache. She had only slept for 2 hours and was extremely weak and exhausted. She still had a fever and a sore throat. Her stomach began growling from lack of food. Officers from the mullah and the intelligence offices swarmed into the room with a film crew. One of the tall, muscular interrogators looked Rahane intently into her eyes and screamed, "Just say he didn't try to rape you. Just confess that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi." Hot lights flashed directly into Rahane's eyes. The lenses of the video cameras focused tightly upon her face. Rahane lifted her arms up to protect her face. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the investigator once again screamed in her face. Rahane's heart began to race from fear. She desperately wanted to just crawl underneath the table and hide. She was weary and exhausted from the same questions and accusations over and over again. Taking a deep breath, she could see her father in her mind's eyes, encouraging her for the last time, staring in her face, saying, "Be strong. Be strong, Rahane. Don't forget that you are Kurdish." Rahane slowly raised her head up and proudly looked her interrogators in their eyes. "I can't. I won't lie," she proclaimed with a loud voice. Almost on command, two male guards immediately approached Rahane and pulled her up out of her chair. Rahane didn't resist. She had no strength left in her body. Then one of the guards struck her in the face with the palm of his hands. Rahane collapsed onto the floor. The cameras followed her down on the floor. She lay still for a few moments, moaning in pain. Then one of the guards pulled her back up from the floor and sat her down once again in the chair. The interrogator pushed his face up against Rahane's face. Rahane was trembling. She couldn't look at him. "You purchased a knife to kill Sarbande, didn't you?" the interrogator demanded. Rahane remained quietly. Suddenly she felt the heavy palm of a hand strike her firmly on the cheek. Rahane screamed and fell backwards in her chair against the wall. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator once again screamed in her face. Rahane was so weary. The fever continued to rage within her body. After a brief moment, Rahane slowly raised up her head with the last drop of strength that remained. She gave the interrogator a defiant look from her tear-soaked eyes. "I can't. I won't lie." Disgusted, the interrogators kicked Rahane's chair and ordered everyone out of the room. He slammed the door shut. Rahane fell forward and laid her weary head down upon the conference table. At 4:15 a.m., Rahane was escorted back to the van. She sat down in the van and leaned her head back. The van quickly drove away from the large interrogation building down the road towards an open field complex. Within a few minutes, the van came to a halt. Rahane looked out the window and saw a large platform surrounded by bright lights. In the center of the platform was a dangling noose and a tall chair. A sharp pain shot across her chest. She nervously swallowed. The two male guards hurried her out of the van. They walked up a short flight of stairs, arriving in the center of the platform. Rahane could feel the cold autumn air stinging her in the face. This morning, she was wearing the same clothes that she dressed in to see her family for the last time, a white shawl covering her head with colored butterflies, a navy blue chador decorated with tiny white flowers, a navy blue shirt, and black trousers. Rahane stood silently on the platform in the dark, cold night with the bright spotlights illuminating the stage. Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed Jalal Sarbande and his family arriving on the platform. They stood a distance of 25 feet away from her. Jalal refused to look Rahane in her eyes. Instead, he turned away and held his mother in his arms to comfort her. At that moment, the two executioners with their faces covered in black masks took a firm grip of Rahane's arms. They helped her step on top of the chair. One of the executioners then firmly placed the noose around Rahane's neck and tightened it. Rahane closed her eyes. Her whole body began to shake with fear. Sweat rolled down her cheeks. She took a nervous, deep breath. Flashes from her childhood raced across her mind. She remembered as a little child being afraid to gargle with salt water for fear of choking. The horrible flashback in her mind was now a frightening reality. Rahane took another deep breath. She could see her mother's face and her eyes swollen red from crying. She could feel her arms tightly around her right now. Tears streamed down her face. Then she saw the beautiful face of the Christian girl who had miraculously visited her in her cell. She could see the tiny metal cross in the palm of the girl's hands. Rahane saw herself clutching the cross in her hand. A gentle wave of comfort filled her soul. The pain, the fear, the hurts, and the bitterness began melting away. Rahane stared up at the black sky. Where was God right now? She nervously mumbled to herself. Don't you care? Don't you love me? Rahane then turned her head and for the first time gazed into Jalal Sarbandi's eyes. She could see fear and frustration beaming out from his eyes toward her. Forgive me for the sake of my mother, Rahane whispered out loud. Rahane looked back toward the heavens and took another nervous deep breath. Then she gazed back at Jalal. I swear to God that you will repent later and find out that you were wrong. Later, you find out that I was innocent. Jalal walked away from the arms of his mother. Rahane swallowed nervously and closed her eyes. With a firm and forceful kick, the chair fell out from underneath Rahane's feet. There was a quick and forceful snap, and then an eerie silence followed. Dangling on a rope, suspended between heaven and earth, the beautiful Rose of Persia breathed her last. Rahane bowed her head and kissed the face of God. There is a short poem right after this execution that I wrote in honor of Rahane. It's entitled, The Beautiful Rose of Persia. There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will live again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us healing, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to kiss the sky. I want to soar. Rahane was one of the bravest Iranian women in the history of Iran. She refused to lie to protect and save her life and to say that she was not raped by Jalal Sarbandi's father, Morteza. This regime, this government did everything in it to force her to confess that it was consensual, that she was not raped, because this man was a member of the intelligence ministry at one time. He was a former government agent, and it was all about his reputation. Yet throughout the time Rahane was in prison, many amazing things happened in her life. The most amazing thing that happened before her execution was that one evening she had a visitation from a young girl who identified herself as a Christian, and she talked to Rahane about the gospel, about Jesus, and urged her to read the Bible. And then before she disappeared, she put a silver little thin metal cross in Rahane's hand. Well, Rahane went to bed and woke up the next morning, thought it was just one big dream, until she reached underneath her pillow to find the tiny metal cross. This was a prison letter that never made it translated into English publicly on the internet. Rahane's prison letters were there except for this one. I received this specifically from Rahane's mother, Sholeh. And it was the most amazing scene in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. You see, because God sent an angel to Rahane, there is no binding or the word of God from those that have been chosen for salvation. Rahane was one of those young girls who wasn't very religious, but God made sure that she was visited by this angel, by this girl, to urge her to read God's word, to read the Bible, so she could find her hope and freedom in Jesus. God triumphed in that situation. No steel bars, no prison can keep God's presence away, can keep God's purposes from being accomplished. And so today, just a few hours from now, in Tehran, it will be October 25th, 8 years since the beautiful Rose of Persia was unjustly executed, who had spent 7 years in prison, seven grueling years of torture and interrogation. You see, this is how women in Iran are treated who are victims of rape. When you think of Rahane, you cannot help but to think of the thousands of women and men out on the streets giving their lives for freedom, fighting, struggling, standing up against security forces, being shot in the head, being shot with pellets, being beaten over the head with batons. This is how the people of Iran, this is how the Rahanes of Iran are treated, because all they want is freedom. All they want is a democracy. All they want to do is have a choice about whether or not to wear a hijab, on what clothes to wear. They want the choice. They want the ability to say, this is my freedom. This is my choice. And so today, in the midst of everything, in the midst of this revolution, we take the time today to honor one of the great and beautiful ladies of Iran, Rahane Jabari. You are the beautiful rose of Persia. And I want to end with the anthem of this revolution, the English version of Shervin Hajipour's Four. This is Rana Mansour. Appropriately, she is singing a song that fits everything I've been saying about dear Rahane. It's called Woman, Life, and Liberty. Let's listen.
For dancing in the alleys and the streets, for the thrill and the fear of getting caught kissing, for my sister, my brother, and unity, for all the times we tried to change their minds and stale beliefs, for the loss of pride, for poverty, for the dream of just a normal life for you and me, for all the children who are starving for a loaf of bread, for the greed of politics and all the lies they spread, for all the mass polluted air we breathe, for all the litter in the streets and all the dying trees, for all the animals who suffer from elimination, for all the cats and dogs who love us without no conditions, for all the tears that seem to never end, for all the images that keep on turning in our heads, for a simple smile to last a little while, for the future generations fighting for their time, for empty promises of heaven in the afterlife, for all the imprisonments of beautiful minds, for all the babies who were born and for the ones who died, for all the times you told the truth and all the times you lied, for all the speeches that we heard about a million times, for all the shacks and shelters that were sold to make a dime, for just a glimpse of a peaceful life, for the rising of the sun after an endless night, for all the pills we pop just to get some sleep, for all mankind and our country, for all the boys and girls who never knew equality, for woman, for life, liberty.
Such an appropriate song for what we were talking about this morning on the cross in the desert. It's all about woman, life, liberty. Every day, unfortunately, I have to post a picture from some young Iranian girl, beautiful Iranian girl, laying in a hospital bed like Mahsa Amini, suffering from head wounds by being hit with these steel-type batons by security forces. I am so tired of having to do this. It is so agonizing. When will the violence and the bloodshed end? And yet, these courageous Iranian men and women refuse to stay silent. Rahane refused to give in and lie and stay silent. She was the voice of hope of all Iranian women and men in prison. And today, she joins the many thousands who have already given their lives for freedom. I will never, ever forget Rahane. I will never forget Netta Sultan. I will never forget Mahsa Amini, Nikki Shakarami, Serena Azmailzadeh. I will never forget Hadas Najafi. The list goes on and on. Azra Panahi. I can't even remember all the names. These beautiful women, these young girls who have given their lives, who have had their lives cut short for life, liberty, and freedom. May we never forget any of them. And today, we are remembering one young, very strong, brave Kurdish woman, Rahane Jabari. I want to say to Shahzad and Sholi and Shari and Feridun, your daughter is the hero and the inspiration of my life. I am so sorry for your pain and suffering, but I will never forget Rahane. And as long as I have this radio program, I will tribute a special day set aside just for her. God bless you. I will see you again Thursday on the cross in the desert.